Wonderful and most appreciated to be invited back to join in worship with all of you, my sisters and brothers in Christ. Dawn's invitation was a most welcome one, and fortunately the calendar cleared. I thank her, I thank all of you for that. And while we're thinking of Dawn, certainly want to be keeping her in our prayers in this time of sabbatical and trust that it's going well. So we assure her of our continued thoughts and our prayers. As you think back in your life, how many times do you think you have come to the Lord's table? Now, for some of us who have a few more years, that perhaps is many more times than others. But just think about that. Think of those experiences over all the years as we have celebrated Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, the Holy Eucharist. Think of the places. Perhaps it was the very simple white interior such as we experience here at Ephraim this morning. But then again, perhaps it has been in the most ornate and large cathedrals that we have visited. Think of what happened before receiving the sacrament. In most traditions, there is the opportunity for confession and repentance. And we did that this morning in our liturgy. In many traditions, there is the sharing of peace. It's known in our church as the right hand of fellowship. And that may take the form of the handshake, a hug, or a kiss. Think of how you communed. Sometimes one came to the altar rail and either standing or kneeling received the elements of the bread and the fruit of the vine from a pastor, a priest, or a lay leader. Sometimes the elements were served in the pew. In some traditions, the plate of bread and the cups is passed down the row. Or in our tradition, the elements brought to you at the pew and we stand and there receive the elements from a pastor or a lay leader. We think of wartime or in battle, how the participants made use of whatever they had for communion. It could have been pill purified water and a cracker. But it doesn't really matter what those elements are, it's the meaning behind them. Think of the variety in those elements. A thin round wafer or bits of wafer of unleavened bread. Or it could have been cubes of bread or pieces of bread pulled from a common loaf. Sometimes there is wine, sometimes there's grape juice. Either way, it represents the fruit of the vine. Consider then the ways used to describe the presence of Christ. There are in our fellow and sister and brother Christian traditions the idea that when the bell rings as the elements are consecrated, that those elements literally become the body and the blood of Jesus. It's known in very churchy language as transubstantiation. But there's also the belief that when those elements are received into the body, they in fact become the body and the blood of Jesus. And that's known as consubstantiation. Where do we as Moravians come out? We believe that this experience is mystery. And as mystery, it cannot be fully explained in human terms. But very decidedly and very assuredly, what we say as Moravians, Christ is present. But we do not try to define how and when that presence becomes real. Christ is present. Now, what is in our minds as we come to receive the sacrament? What are we thinking about? What do we experience while eating those elements of bread and fruit of the vine? What are we sensing? What are we sensing when we take that bread and that juice into our mouths? What's going on? What's happening in our hearts, in our minds and souls? And certainly it will be very different from one person to the other. And certainly each time we commune, it can be very different from one time to the other. I have to tell you that there are times, yes, when there is a very subtle rush, a feeling within my body, within my soul, within my spirit. But I have to tell you there are also times when I'm not sure I experience anything at all. Well, just as life isn't all a rush, or life isn't all a blank screen, so it is in partaking of the sacrament. Sometimes there will be a sense of feeling that something significant is going on within us, and there will be those moments when it feels as if nothing at all is happening. Is this right or wrong? In no way. It's just that different times we'll feel in different ways. It's all very natural and normal. But this you and I do know. What is constant and never changes is at the very heart of how we as Moravians view the sacrament. Regardless of what we experience on any given Sunday or day when we receive the sacrament, we know this. We are here in community. We are here communing with our sisters and brothers in Christ. That never changes. That is certain. And that is what gives identity and meaning to our experience. Oh yes, there are times when the Holy Communion is taken to a private home or to a care facility or to the hospital. But what is so significant is that we do this not in isolation, not individually, but corporately, here with our sisters and our brothers in Christ. Now, we do know that we are connected by this common faith we share. But sometimes we come to this moment and we are feeling disconnected from perhaps a family member, a neighbor, a friend. We are at odds with them, and perhaps we are at odds with God. And yet there is the reality. No matter what that feeling may be of disconnection, we are all still one in Christ. Another constant is to remember the call of Jesus to remember me. On many communion tables, there are those words, either in raised letters or routed into the front of the table, in remembrance of me. What are you reading out there? Let's say it aloud. In remembrance of me. Jesus' invitation. When we come and receive these elements, we are remembering who he is and what he has accomplished. Jesus wants us to remember that he has made us one with God. He has reconciled us with God. And that is our text for today from 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. This table reminds us of this most significant act, God's great act of love in sacrificing his son Jesus, that you and I might have abundant and blessed life here and now and in the life to come. It is said of the patron of the Moravians, Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf, once finishing his formal education, went on a grand tour of Europe, which was common among nobility of that time. And it was during that tour that Zinzendorf visited the art gallery in Dusseldorf, where he became transfixed with Domenico Fetti's work, The Ecce Homo, Behold the Man. Zinzendorf was captivated by what he saw in the painting representing Christ, described by a Christian website, and I quote, "across whose face the Christian artist had painted love. As the young nobleman saw the pierced hands, the bleeding brow, and wounded side, as he slowly scanned the couplet, 'All this I did for thee. What hast thou done for me?' A new revelation of the claim of Jesus Christ upon every life, which his grace had been outpoured, flashed upon him." End quote. So here at this table, we meet the Christ to remember. Remember who he was, what he accomplished, and what he is asking of us. What is our task this morning in this ministry of reconciliation to which we have been called? Our task is not to divide the body of Christ, but to unite it. It is our task to do everything within our power and means to maintain harmony within the body of Christ, not disrupt. It is our God-given task to do everything possible to be at peace with one another, no matter what, and regardless of what may have been said or done. It is our God-given task to reach out to one another when there is ill will in our hearts, not turn our backs on those with whom we disagree, and not run from the conflict. It is our God-given task to reach out to the excluded, the alienated, the rejected, the lost, the battered, the abused. Remembering the words of Robert Markham, often quoted by the late Bishop Milo Lopnow, "They drew a circle that shut them out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took them in." How do we carry out this ministry of reconciliation? I suggest three steps. First, to listen. To listen. It has been said that from childhood on, our ability to hear and listen decreases. I learned that very well when my family said, "Dad, you're always saying huh to what we are saying." And I went out and got hearing aids, and I'm so glad I did. But we're talking about the listening that is going on inside of us, not just physiologically, but what kind of listening are we doing in our lives when others are speaking? The bad news is that we do exercise bad listening habits, but the good news is that we can learn them. I've led two congregational workshops on listening and developing listening skills. And I have led three learning and retirement classes at NWTC, two with a co-leader, teaching skills to become better and more effective listeners. Each and every day, I am trying to become just that. I am learning that God has created us with two ears, one mouth, for a reason. If we don't listen to one another, how will we ever come to understand and appreciate and respect one another? And if we can't listen to one another, how in the world are we then going to be able to listen to God? Because they do go hand in hand. Our Lord Jesus called the crowds again and again, and he said to them, "Listen to me to understand." So listen and a second step to forgive. Robert Enright said, "We Christians have a wonderful and a powerful gift to offer the conflicted, the hurting, and the bruised. But we so seldom use it. And it is the gift of forgiveness." The Bible does remind us that we expect to be forgiven by God. We are bound to forgive one another. No matter what. A tall order, no question. But doable. It is our choice. You and I have witnessed the power and the beauty of what happens when two people are reconciled by forgiving one another. What grudge, resentment, hurt might we be holding today in our heart, in our soul, which the power of forgiveness needs to touch? Here, in this moment, at this table, it can happen. Listen, forgive, and embrace. Why do Christians in the sacrament share the peace? But to demonstrate that we embrace one another in ways that are mutual and appropriate, we reach out with the open hand and arms to indicate that all is well between us and one another. We reach out because we are family. We are sisters and brothers in Christ. We reach out to demonstrate that though we have our differences in color of skin, in opinion, in sexual orientation, or in whatever other difference there may be, we hear the Apostle Paul's words that we are to be reconciled and one with one another. My sisters and brothers in Christ, in this spirit, we are welcome to this table. And I have the honor and privilege of extending the invitation to all those who wish to commune to come to this table, all those who want to be fed and nourished by the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here to be served by your worship leaders, and here to remember the Jesus who said, "Come to me. Come unto me, and I will offer you the bread of life. I will offer you the living fruit of the vine." In this spirit, we respond to our Lord Jesus Christ by coming to his table. Amen.